Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips it down inside the 25-yard line.
The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Michigan week. Jake, are you excited?
I've only been waiting for this for forever.
So are you more excited for this game than you were Houston Christian?
By a spin.
I thought we were supposed to look ahead and look past opponents, Jake. I thought the next game was always the most important game, Jake.
Well, usually.
What a load of BS. Yeah. Michigan is a big deal. So here's the deal. Here's one of the things that I enjoy about, my God, what I do for a living, talking Husker sports. As a player and as a coach, what I just said is true. You don't talk about Michigan. Although, let's be real, Matt Rhule probably already had 95% of his game planning before he played Houston Christian, but you don't talk publicly about Michigan until after Houston Christian, because Houston Christian is the Super Bowl, then Michigan is the Super Bowl, then Michigan State is the Super Bowl. The next game is always the most important game. Now, coaches publicly look at it that way. Privately, they game plan differently, trust me. Players, that's how you have to look at it as a player. That's how you avoid letdowns. You stay consistent. In this job, hey, I was excited for Houston Christian, but not because I didn't know if we were going to win. By the way, I said 56-7. What was your score prediction?
I don't know if I landed on one, to be honest. I don't think I gave one.
So I was right and you were wrong.
Yes.
Basically, I was closer because you forfeited. We got to go through our picks today. Do you have the picks?
I do have the picks. Yeah.
We'll do that segment too. All right. We got a loaded show, ladies and gentlemen. If you can't tell, I'm a little bit excited to play Michigan, because in this job, I don't have to pretend like I get equally excited for every game. These aren't my children. I don't love them all the same. Now, you have multiple kids or just the one, right?
Just one.
You love them all the same when you have more than one, right?
I think that's the goal.
That's the goal. He didn't say yes. He said that's the goal. That's kind of like we want to be in Michigan. That's the goal. Nah, we love all our children the same. But it's hard not to get a little bit more excited, in all seriousness, for this week and frankly going forward. All right, Michigan, bye week, Michigan State. And then, man, Big Ten plays in full swing by that point. This is a potential statement game for Nebraska. I'm going to dive more into that. We got 2 hours. I don't want to blow the whole thing right off the top. We got a loaded show. We got 3 clips to play. Brian Kelly freaks out. Terrence Crawford is one of the GOATs, the greatest of all time. By the way, I got that one right. Who'd you take? You took Canelo, didn't you?
No, I didn't take Canelo. What right person in the right mind would take Canelo?
I don't know. You're Nebraska. Bad news, Bach. I just assumed you took Canelo. I honestly don't remember who you took. Who'd you take?
I'm not sure if we officially predicted that either, but I would have said butter, otherwise I would have remembered it.
We did. We did. I think it was because we did our picks on Friday. We might have actually talked about it Thursday.
I think so, yeah. I think
so. We had 10 college football games that we predicted plus Bud, which we both got right. I'm going to trust you with your word. Said you took Bud. I know I took Bud. I know he was the underdog. I don't know. This is going to sound so stupid. Canelo's one of the greats, right? Like, unequivocally. What's his record? Like 62-3? I mean, that's insane. That is like the 94-97 Nebraska football team record. It's honestly not that far from that.
Yeah.
That's how insane that is. I can't get when he got destroyed by Floyd Mayweather 17 years ago out of my mind, mostly because that's the last fight of his I've seen. And I can't get that out of my mind. And you watch Bud Crawford. And I said going in, he's the better fighter. He's technically more sound. The only concern was him going up in weight. Like if Canelo had to come up to his weight, if Bud was bigger, I would have easily taken Bud. No disrespect to Canelo. I know that sounds disrespectful. It's not meant to be disrespectful. It's more complimentary to Bud Crawford. I still took Bud. And I did. I tried to take my Nebraska rooting for Bud fan hat off, my bias out as much as I could. And I was like, no, he's just the better fighter. If he comes in ready to go, he will win. Did you know? I felt like it was decisive in Bud's favor, by the way. Did you know he had to win the 11th and 12th round in order to win the fight? Mm. Did you see that?
I didn't know that, no. I got kind of from the broadcast, obviously, they were kind of scoring it along, not officially, and they were giving Bud a majority of the rounds.
Yeah, he had eight of the 11, first 11 rounds. And then obviously the fight was over. I don't think they told us what they scored the last round. Two of the judges had it tied after 10 rounds, which blows my mind. One judge did have it in favor of Bud, but he had to win the last two rounds in order to win the fight, which he won unanimously. If you have ever watched a Bud Crawford fight, the argument was, oh, he's the champions of the Big East in football, the conference that doesn't exist anymore. He's really, really good, but who is he faced? That was always the argument. I'm not saying I agree with it. I was just like, 42 have tried now, 42 have fallen. And even going in, I'm like, just watch him. And watch Canelo. They're both really good. If Bud comes in with a healthy amount of weight put on, because he had to go up in weight classes, and he comes in ready to go physically, which he wanted this fight. They went after Canelo. Like, we want to fight you. Canelo didn't pursue him. He pursued Canelo. And this is the biggest fight of your life. You can't tell me he ain't going to come in ready in shape. Nebraska people don't know any other way. In Omaha's own, Bud Crawford ain't going to do it any different. Now, had Canelo won, it would not have been shocking or flabbergasting. But I picked Bud, and I was like, unless the size is just a gigantic issue, which was interesting because the announcers mentioned it. By the way, did Max Kellerman, who does a phenomenal job as a general hold, drive you nuts during the fight?
He seemed to be off his game.
Well, okay, was it just me, or was the entire fight, it felt like he was like, Canelo's better, Canelo's bigger. How, Bud's outboxing him, but how's he going to handle the size? How's he going to handle the power? Like, did you not feel that? And then when he interviewed him at the end, he almost seemed annoyed that he had to interview him because he ultimately was wrong about who won the fight. Is that just me? Did you feel that way at all?
No, I mean, I think that was part of the fight, though, is that, you know, because I kind of, in prep for it, was a lot of people felt like, you know, if this goes 12 rounds, the better boxer, as far as like scoring total, might be Bud Crawford. But that's what you kind of got to look out for, is Canelo's power, because he can equalize it pretty quickly. That's what kind of surprised me when you say the last couple of rounds Bud needed to win, because it felt like, and Bud was ready to swing too. I mean, they were kind of swinging back and forth, but it felt like Canelo had to knock him out. I mean, had to go for the knockout punch to get the win in those final rounds. And for what it's worth, Bud kind of left it open a little bit. I mean, he was willing to go swinging with him as well.
So it was interesting. The first couple of rounds were honestly pretty boring, but that's what happens when you're testing each other out and you're getting a feel for each other. The farther the fight went along, the faster the fists went and the bigger the swings were. And to your point, Bud could have gone conservative. When I saw that he had to win the last two rounds, I was at some point yesterday on Sunday, I about fell over. I was like, are you kidding me? I thought he literally just had to not get knocked down and he was going to win the fight. So to me, that was a surprise. But anyways, he wins the fight. He wins the last two rounds. I felt like Canelo, one of the greats, still Bud outboxed him decisively. And even at the end, I don't know if it's the smartest thing in the world, but I love it and I respect it. Bud was willing to swing with him. Now, you and I had a debate last week. Oh, first of all, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors. Okay, this show does not happen without you fine folks at home. This show does not happen without our business partners, sponsors, and good friends at Hamilton Telecommunications. The Hour One of the Adam Carriker Show is sponsored by Hamilton Telecommunications, bringing you the latest in quality technology and communication services since 1901. Learn more about their residential and business services at HamiltonTel.com. That's HamiltonTEL.com. But you and I had a conversation last week about, was it worth the risk that Bud was taking? Because what if you lose? You felt it would hurt his legacy. I felt the fact that unless he just got the, like Canelo just wiped the floor with him, I was like, I was going to respect the fact that he tried, and to me, that would elevate him. I told you that day, my favorite thing that Tom Osborne ever did, and this is crazy, but I don't, with the exception of one time in my life, every time in my life I've had the option to go safe or to go all in and take big risk, I've gone all in. That's just me. It's just how I am. I would rather fail giving it my all than regret wondering if I could have done more later. Like, that's just always been me. I don't have FOF, fear of failure. I am terrified of not trying to begin with. That's me personally. So no matter what happened, and Bud wasn't gonna get destroyed by Canelo. That was never gonna happen. Barring that happening, no matter what happened, I was gonna either respect the fact that he tried and maybe it didn't work out, or he won. But you were concerned if he lost, it might hurt his legacy. Well, he won. Whether you think it was close, decisive, or whatever, he won. What does that do for his legacy, Jake?
Well, like you said, I mean, I think there's still kind of questions along the way about quality, strength of schedule, if you will. But now having beaten Errol Spence and now moving on to Canelo Alvarez, I mean, those gives you some big ones to work with. So it's huge for his legacy. Obviously, you know, unifying the titles, done something that nobody's ever done. He's willing to move up a few weight classes to go fight. I mean, he's right up there in rarefied air when we talk about the greatest boxers of all time. And when we do that too, again, now what's interesting is the future. You know, he's 37 years old. What kind of comes out of this, and is he going to be one of the few that can retire undefeated? You know, kind of like Floyd Money Mayweather. So we'll see. But it's absolutely huge. And obviously, you know, if you saw the difference between the purse that each one of them got coming into this boxing match, you know, maybe there'll be an opportunity for him to kind of make more and you know, kind of zone in now on being a prize fighter. But I'm not necessarily sure. I mean, I think it's interesting to see, you know, and Max Kellerman asked both fighters right afterwards if this was their last fight. So it could be getting toward, you know, that level, but man, we still got to get him one in Memorial Stadium, don't we?
Dude, if he ever fought Memorial Stadium, it would be, it's like when you're trying to get tickets to a big time concert. If you love Taylor Swift, you'll get this. If you don't, it's not I'm not a giant Taylor Swift fan, but her tickets go on sale. They're gone within like 10 seconds. Like, you have to be sitting there clicking the button as soon as they go live. That's how a Bud Crawford fight in Memorial Stadium would be. Now, the question is, would the nation perceive it as something they want to see? It's very regional, okay? And would someone want to come in and fight him in Memorial Stadium? Now, I would think the fact that you could probably charge just about anything you want and the tickets would sell out, which is going to create a gigantic purse, I think you could get somebody to come in. Okay, I think money at the end of the day is going to speak, as we know. And, man, if you're Bud and you retire now, hey, you're going to go down as one of the GOATs. But let's be real. Now is when he can make the biggest money. Now, he's a bigger draw than he's ever been.
Yeah.
So now, it's what matters. Like, what does he want to do? He's 38. He's earned the right to do whatever he wants. If he wants to chill and just go down as a GOAT, hey, he can do that. And I'm sure he's doing well off financially. Seems like a smart dude. If he wants to go out and see what else he could do, who else he can fight, what else can happen, I'm with you, though. How about two more? How about two more? Get to 40-0. Easy for me to say as I sit here. And my feet dangle on this chair. My feet don't dangle on many chairs, by the way. That's how high up this thing is. Two more. Let's get to 40-0. Let's get to make a bunch of money, but let's just make one in Memorial Stadium. Just one. You think Floyd Mayweather wouldn't fight? How close are they in weight class? I have no idea on this question, by the way. You think Floyd would come out, or does he just like want to fight like Logan Paul and guys like that now? Of course, he's up there a little bit, so I respect that.
He's 48 years old, so that is significantly
heavy. I mean, didn't Tyson just fight at like 92 or something?
He did. But then you get kind of get into the question of, you know, if you beat a 50-year-old Floyd, is that the same?
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, how much is that going to
help
your legacy?
10 years. 10 years is a lot. It's not like it's 20 or 30, though.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying D.C. politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Did Jake Paul, Mike Tyson, was that fight rigged? Let's settle that month-old debate or year-old debate now. What do you think? Was it rigged?
I don't know if I'd go with rigged. I don't.
Predetermined?
I don't.
Means the same thing, but just different word.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Uh-uh.
I have a hard time thinking they would convince Mike Tyson to go along with something that's predetermined. That being said, I don't know his financial situation. I know he's had financial issues in the past. Maybe money could talk, depending on what his financial situation is now. The thing that gives credence to it to me, I've never seen him bite his gloves like that, ever. Over and over and over in that fight versus Jake Paul. And to me, that's the one thing that gives it a little bit of credence. It's almost like he was trying to, like a kid that's having a hard time dealing with something. You just start, and his response was biting the gloves. He's never done that in any other fight. Bob Holyfield's ear, but that was different. All right. Ladies and gentlemen on the text line, will, not should, we know should, he should. Will we ever have a Bud Crawford fight in Memorial Stadium? Let us know, yes or no. What's that number, Jake?
402-464-5685.
By the way, I say yes. There's just too much. Like, Bud loves Nebraska. He reps it everywhere. And there's just too much money that could be made. So I'm going to say yes, but let us know. Do you agree? And was Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul rigged? We just want to know. We want to settle the debate now.
I think Jake Paul could have swung harder toward the end, if that's what you're saying.
No, I'm saying I think Tyson held back.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
No. Not the other way around. I think Tyson held back, which is why he kept biting his gloves. Mm. You'll see, as you get older, kids do funny things when they have to do things they don't want or they're not used to. That's what Tyson reminded me of in that fight.
It was very strange. By the way, shout out to Netflix. It was a much better experience this time.
My wife goes, it's on Netflix, and all she could talk about was Tyson Paul and how that was a nightmare. This was phenomenal. Yeah. I had no issues. Did you have any issues?
No, I didn't.
No, Netflix was great. Much better. Hey, all we can do is strive to get better every day, Netflix. Hand clap to Netflix. All right, Bud Crawford, one of the GOATs. You got any final thoughts on this? Anything off the text line real quick there, Jake?
A few different thoughts here. Bud is 42 and 0, unmasked texter says. Tyson.
Oh, 42. Why did I think 48? I think because you said 48 for
Mayweather.
Mayweather. Yeah. Sorry. Let's get to 45 and 0. Let's get to 40. So three more. Okay, Bud? I'll just volunteer you for three more fights. Sorry. Go ahead, Jake. Sorry.
Old Dad 34 says Tyson fight was rigged for sure. Austin Hansen says we owe Bud. I still credit him for the Colorado win.
I like it.
Scrapper says, let's have a Bud fight in Memorial Stadium, but every card has a Nebraska fighter on it.
Mm.
That'd be interesting. Might be tough to fill.
I was going to say, that might be a little too regional. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Garage Jeff says, I think Tyson could have knocked him out, so he's with you there. And Jesse the Plumber says, I'm pretty sure there were things in the contract that Tyson could not throw uppercuts or knock Paul out. I don't know how official that is. So I have to look into that. And then a couple other thoughts. Yeah. That Tyson held back.
All right. What was interesting to me was as you watched the fight, like I said, in the beginning, it was, let's be honest, it was boring, but they were feeling each other out. It's almost like the first quarter of a football game where it's like blase. Of course, nowadays, I'm thinking back to when I was a kid. Nowadays, you got the first 16, and those are some of the most fire plays you'll see all day because coaches and teams come in ready to go. But as the fight progressed, man, by the end, it was one of the more entertaining fights I've seen in a while. But you could just see, as the fight went along, you could see Canelo. Like, Mayweather's always said, there's no Da Vinci Code I can't crack in that ring. And it was like you could see Canelo couldn't handle this Da Vinci Code. And you could see Bud smiling And you're like, oh, one dude's got the mental edge. One dude feels confident and good. The other dude's a little frustrated right now. Although, did you see after the fight, Canelo brought his kid over. He handed him the belt. Yeah. Like, Bud took a picture with it. Like, Canelo, dude, what a great sport, man. All-time great fighter, great champion. Handled himself with class afterwards. I actually became a bigger fan of Canelo Alvarez after that.
Yeah, no, I can agree. It was really good. Again, the most distracting part of the post-fight was Max Kellerman's questions and the pacing of them. But, it was awesome. And, of course, like you said, Nebraska well represented. I think all of or most of the entourage that came in with Bud Crawford had Nebraska hats. He saw some like 95 Husker jerseys and stuff like that. So very, very cool time and awesome for anybody that was able to stay up. Again, that's the one thing in boxing. I know some people didn't quite make it to the end of the fight.
I saw some tweets from people I know. The fight still won't start for like 2 hours. It probably still won't start for like an hour. Because my wife was going to stay up and watch it. I was like, do you not remember how boxing works? Like, that main event may not start till midnight. I think it was like 11:20. I was like, oh, I'll take this. It'll be done by like 12:20, something like that. I'm not going to lie. I was tired on Sunday. I stayed up and watched it. I recorded a little reaction afterwards. I think I put it out like 1:30 in the morning.
I was flipping back and forth between that and Cal in Minnesota because they played pretty late.
They did. I didn't watch that game at all. I was way more interested in Bud's fight. What happened with Cal Minnesota?
Cal beat Minnesota.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
PJ Fleck's not always great in the non-con.
I've noticed that. It's hard because I want Minnesota to do good just simply because I want the Big Ten to look good, but I also want PJ Fleck and Minnesota to lose. So it's a little bit of a catch-22 there. All right, my man. Oh, we have a clip. A short clip. This was part of the message that Terrence Crawford had to the Nebraska football team when he spoke to them before the Colorado game. By the way, I'm going to highly advocate that Bud leads this out against Michigan on Saturday. Mm. I'd be surprised if he doesn't at this point. Yeah. You saw Rule and Dannon were there, right?
Oh, yeah. Rule and his chains.
Dude.
Those chains look nice on him.
Dude, he's gone from one chain to two chains. He's going to be Mr. T before the season is over with all the chains he's going to have on. He had the bright red coat on. Matt Rhule was styling, man.
I love Matt Rhule's. Matt Rhule's just changed from when he started at Nebraska. He didn't want cameras around. He didn't want any celebrity coaches. Now he's like turning into the biggest celebrity coach he can. And, of course, cameras are everywhere.
Is this the same Matt Rhule? Did Matt Rhule get abducted and get replaced with an alien version of Matt Rhule? Is there really Deion Sanders inside of Matt Rhule controlling him like a cartoon? Is that what's going on? I'm not making fun of him. I actually like it. It's Matt Rhule looking around from when he first got here. I'm going to build things this way. Okay, now I've got to adjust to this a year or two in. This is how I'm going to recruit. Okay, now I've got to adjust to this. This is how I'm going to attack the transfer portal. All right, now I'm going to attack it this way. And it's not that he had the complete wrong blueprint when he first got here. It's honestly, look at how much college football has changed since he first got here. It is drastically different. Every time I turn around, he is doing, like, one of the things that Osborne did so well. I'm not saying Matt Rhule's Tom Osborne. He may be in 20, 30 years, but I'm not saying he is yet. One of the things Osborne did so well, he was always ahead of the curve. He was always innovative. Husker power does not happen unless Osborne goes to Devaney and says, we need to hire Boyd Epley as our strength coach. Devaney says, sure. If it doesn't work out, you're both fired, by the way. Did you know that? That's what Devaney said. If it doesn't work out, you're both fired. Because at the time, lifting and athletics was thought to be a bad thing in the mid to late 60s because it would make you stiff. That's what they thought. And Osborne was ahead of the curve in so many things he did. If anybody thinks we just ran the power game and option, you don't truly understand how complex. It was insanely simple for the offense, but insanely complex for the defense to defend. The way they would block things. The way they would change up a motion or change up an alignment or change up just little things would change the entire thing for the defense. I mean, I've shared this before, but Amon Green, before the Colorado game in Boulder, Osborne told him, hey, we're going to tweak this one way we block this. We're going to run the first play of the game. You're going to take it to the house for the touchdown. And then it happened. It was like a 50-yard touchdown option to the left. So I've shared this before, but Rick Neuheisel was the Colorado coach. Okay. We interviewed him a year ago at Big Ten Media Days. So last time it was in Indianapolis. He talked about that very play. He said there was nothing special about it. We just didn't play it well. And I'm sitting there trying not to laugh at him. because I know very well that the blocking was different, and he had no idea. Hey, all due respect to everyone with microphone in front of their faces just like us, but maybe there's a reason he's not coaching anymore.
Hey!
I know.
I'm a big Rick Neuheisel guy.
You are?
Well, I mean, from hating him as a child, yes. When he was at Colorado.
I understand that the ticket has a great relationship with him, so I'll keep my opinion to myself. It goes back to my recruiting days, and frankly, it goes back to the way he conducted himself that day when we interviewed him.
Wow.
I did not take kindly to his lack of decor on that particular day. I've never said that publicly before. We'll keep a good relationship with Rick Neuheisel, so I shall keep my opinion to myself beyond what I've already shared. But my point is this. Matt Rhule, every time I turn around, he's doing something that nobody else is doing. Whether you like it or not, he was the first guy to get rid of the spring game officially, or one of the first. People hated on it, and then all of a sudden a bunch of people did it. Now, I'm glad it's going to be coming back. We haven't gotten official word, but it better be coming back. He's the first guy to start a podcast. Do you like it or not? He's willing to try new things. He's willing to be ahead of the curve. I love that he's on Pat McAfee every week, but how do you convince them? Like, why the Nebraska head coach? Nick Saban's the only other guy I've ever seen be on Pat McAfee every week. As much as I love Nebraska football, are we in the same conversation as Alabama when they had Nick Saban? How did he convince them to do that? And he said Pat asked him, which I'm like, that's awesome if that's true.
Well, yeah, I think it partially goes back to the fact that he's fantastic with a mic in front of his face. He's really good speaker in general.
That he is. He would have made a great WWE promo, by the way, I think. All right, we better go to break. We've got a visitor at the moment. Do you want us to go to break or wait, DP?
We can hold it 60 seconds.
Okay, we'll hold it.
I need to bring this young man in, and I need for him to tell his story because.
I know, Dave. It's nice to meet Dave Dahl.
Dave, let him know. I want you to hand it to Adam when you're done.
Okay.
All right, we have a visitor. Go ahead, Dave.
I got an autographed football from the 1982 Husker team.
Nice.
A friend of mine. Well, my ex-wife, her husband was third string safety on the team, and we played volleyball together with his wife, co-ed. And I asked him if I could just sign an autograph for my dad for Christmas. And so he did it it took him the whole year to do it. And I got everybody to sign it.
Awesome.
And Rozier signed where the coaches signed.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, you idiot. But I wanted to donate this to you guys.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Thank you, sir.
If it won the championship, it'd be worth more money.
We won't talk about the out-of-bounds play that was inbounds or out-of-bounds or whatever.
We missed a two-point conversion in Miami.
Oh, okay. That season. Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Yeah. Thanks, DP. Appreciate it. Nice to meet you, Dave.
You too.
Yeah. All right. That was very cool. I love that you never know what's going to happen. The show's truly live. People walking in all the time. We've had a couple of random visitors over the past couple of years. All right. And I always enjoy it. And this is a ball. He said 82. He must have meant 83, the year we went for two. Which, by the way, I started to talk about that earlier, but Osborne going for two is, and I got sidebarred. It sometimes happened with me. My favorite thing he ever did was go for two in that Orange Bowl, even though it didn't pan out. If it had panned out, dude, that'd be the most epic play in the history of college football. All right. We better go to break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.